Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to episode 210 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week after a very, very long time with... Gray!
Hello, everybody. I am still here. Do not worry.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have you back on. You would have been back on a few weeks ago, which is entirely my fault, but I was on a plane coming back from America at the time.
Absolutely understandable.
So yes, I had to bump that show, and then you had other things going on, so it's taken a while. But yes, it's lovely to have you back on. What have you been up to recently then?
Well, obviously, it's been a horrible term for teacher stuff, but do not worry. Sorry, everybody, I've got 4 days left and then I am no longer a teacher, so that's my biggest news. So I didn't say it back in May, but I'd sort of just sort of sorted things for a new job, which I start in August.
Yes.
But yes, I'm finishing being a teacher, so that's my biggest news, which is why you haven't heard from me, because my head has been very much tied up with that.
Yeah.
Which is also given me a chance to really have a cleanse, and part of my cleanse was I was getting myself so wound up and anxious about, I only had like, I had 98% full on my Skybox.
Yeah, I've been in there. Yes.
I couldn't live like that. And so in the end, I thought, I'm just going to have to tear off this Band-Aid. And I changed my subscription deal because I realized I was paying so much for Sky, but I'm using Netflix and BBC iPlayer so much more nowadays that I have done a brave step for someone who contributes to a TV podcast. I've cleansed and I've deleted lots and lots of programs and taken my Sky down to about 40%.
Nice.
So you will never ever hear me talking about The Blacklist. Got rid of about 3 seasons of that. I had to get rid of The Good Fight, 2 seasons of that. The Runaways, got rid of that. This Is Us went, Get Shorty, Speechless. I sadly had to get rid of Lucifer, but I think I might still try and watch that through the Amazon and Netflix links.
Yes.
Got rid of Legion, got rid of The Gifted, like all these things I knew were coming to an end anyway.
Yeah.
And I just knew I couldn't give them my commitment. If I'd left them on there so long, I just wouldn't sort of get round to it. So sadly, but also I feel so much like a weight's been taken from me that I don't have to try and tune into all these programs. And now I'm sort of down to the ones I really want to watch. So I'm currently just watching on like every week sort of thing. I'm watching How to Get Away with Murder. I restarted that today. That was back about 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the other Shonda one, which is in the courtroom.
Oh, yeah, For the People. That's ending after
this season. But I'm going to watch it.
I quite like that show. I do. I think that's quite a good show, and it sits quite well with How to Get Away with Murder. It's a shame they've not done crossovers with those two, but they're running them kind of fairly close. I think they're running them after each other, aren't they?
I think so. They're both on my planner. And just before the big delete, I finished up things like Station 19, Chicago Fire, 9-1, all the ones I was enjoying. But more recently, let's get to the really contemporary stuff. I know I heard you talking to Matt about some of these the other week, but I finished Killing Eve.
And still haven't got to the end of season 2 yet, but yeah.
I liked it, but not as much the first season, but I could see what they were doing. New writer, Emerald Fennell, lots of praise for her. Still love how they write their characters. Absolutely loads of praise for that. Superstore, I finished that. That was obviously on Nightly on ITV2 when they brought it back. It's really clever, really good. I heard you talking about your studio set.
Yes.
And the end of the season was quite dark, but I wonder where they go with it for the next season. I really enjoyed that. Made me laugh, made me smile.
Cool.
Blackish. Again, I've talked about this previously. I think they're just really good at taking serious subjects and putting a nice spin on it in terms of humor, but also bringing like a real message.
I
really binged that as well towards the end. And it had some really good moments in it throughout this season, including a lovely appearance from Octavia Spencer mid-season. She did sort of like a cameo, which is really good. So I got rid of those. I watched all those before I changed my subscription. And then on the train, I finished Smilf this week. I don't know if you've been watching that, Dave.
I haven't been watching that, no.
It is very good, but I didn't like the second season as much as I liked the first season. Okay. It has this real thing where it's supposed to be a series where each episode bounces on to the next, but in some parts of this season it felt like an anthology. It felt like they were telling us a new story in her life, which didn't really have much connection to the previous episode or the next episode. And I don't know if that's sometimes when they bring on new directors, they take their own spin on things and it almost forgets what was happening in the previous episode and the next episode. But I liked it. I think there's a series three coming. I know I haven't put it on my list, but I've just started watching Crashing again as well.
Right.
Which is, I like that. It's good.
That's coming to an end as well, I think. I think that's done.
Picking them. Why do I keep picking them? And before I go on to the only film I've seen in the last 3 months, I'll just say that I finished the final of Taskmaster season 8. Definitely was one of their weakest seasons.
Right.
The one just gone. It didn't drive me to really watch it. I really, really like Lou Sanders. I thought she was really good. She came across really well for someone who's not hugely known. But it had Joe Thomas from The Inbetweeners. I don't think he came across very well. It also had Ian Sterling. He was funny, but, you know, Paul Sinha. I know Paul Sinha's going through a lot of medical issues that's come out on Twitter and that, but he just came across a bit awkward. So it wasn't a great combination, but I'm really looking forward to the season 9 announcement. They just announced that straight after. And I think that's got to be a tactical thing because I don't think season 8's ratings were good.
Right.
So we're going to have, and these are on my wish list. Joe Brand is on there, Rose Matafeo, Ed Gamble, and David Baddiel. They're going to be joined by Katie Wicks, which is a bit of a dark horse. I didn't expect her, but those other four are four people I think would do the show really well. So I can't wait for that.
Cool.
So that's my TV, Dave. So the one film I've seen, that's how bad my life has been. I haven't been able to get to the cinema, but the one film I saw just this weekend, I went to see Spider-Man Far From Home.
Okay. And thoughts?
Well, I'm not going to give you spoilers because I know there's still many people out there who are waiting to go and see it.
Including myself. Yourself. Yes.
Yourself. It ends the phase. I get that. I can't say much because of it is spoilerific from like the first scene. So I'm going to try and not say it. But I think I peaked with Endgame.
Right.
I know I gave so much love to Endgame and I wonder if I have peaked because I sort of sat at the end and I looked at my friends I went with and I was just like, I'm not sure. And I just felt a little bit like that. And I put it along the lines of, I put it along the lines of like Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay. It's not a bad film at all.
Not a bad film, but didn't drive it in a direction I really wanted. And
no.
I suppose to an extent, Guardians of the Galaxy, putting them along there, it's never going to be in my top, but it was fun. It was a teen movie. Stay for the end of credit stings, the very final one, please, please stay. That excited me more than the rest of the movie.
Right, okay.
That brought me out asking more questions than the sort of hour and 45 minutes. And I hope I'm not being too harsh. I love Tom Holland. I love Jake Gyllenhaal. I love Samuel Jackson. I love Kobe Smulders. I thought they all gave absolutely brilliant performances. It was really good. It's a nice comedy piece after the harshness of Endgame. But fundamentally, I enjoyed that end of credits sting more than the whole film.
I think some of those Marvel films are a bit like that. I was a bit like that with Captain Marvel. And Ant-Man and Wasp, perfectly fine, decent enough entertainment, sit and watch something for a couple of hours movie. But I think nothing's quite going to reach the level of something like Endgame.
What about you, Dave? I mean, I just rattled on there for about 10 minutes. Tell me about
I finally finished Jessica Jones, which I thought they did did a really nice job rounding off everything with that final season. I don't know whether they knew that was going to be the final season or whether they suspected, but it leaves it in a really satisfying place, I think. The very final episode and the final shot sort of, I think it works really well and it rounds things out. And I really enjoyed that last season, probably more than the second season. I think it's not a patch on the first season. And I think part of the problem is when you've got David Tennant as a villain in the first season, that's going to be very, very difficult to top.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's always been a problem with that show. But I thought, third season was definitely stronger than the second, I felt. But I don't think anything's come quite close to that first season, but really worth watching. And I did really enjoy it. Finished Stranger Things, which was superb. This third season, it's one of those shows where they maybe over gimmicked it a little too much in the second one, and the third one I think pulls it back. And there's a lot of very nice head nods to 80s nostalgia in there. Some are very, very obvious. Some are much more subtle. You know, I mean, there's sequences where they're watching Back to the Future, but there are more kind of slightly more subtle nods of kind of copying shots from certain films and things, certain sort of classic 80s films, which not everybody is going to necessarily see. So it's interesting and really cleverly done. The storyline I thought was really well put together. It's got a lot of emotion, a lot of drama. There are some very emotional scenes in there. It's got some just wonderfully funny moments as well. Really, really, really solid season that. And I would encourage everybody to go out and watch it. Certainly, again, I think the third season was probably slightly stronger than the second one. I don't know whether they're going to end up finishing it next season, maybe, because I believe it is coming back for a full season, or I suspect it will do. But I thought they did a very, very good job with it, and I'm looking forward to seeing more. But worth watching, definitely. I also watched a couple of stand-up comedies. Catherine Ryan's stand-up, I did that on Netflix, which was fine and funny, and that was good. Aziz Ansari's Right Now, which I thought was brilliant. And I don't really know Aziz's comedy very much. I haven't really watched any of his shows, but it was on there and he kept on recommending it to me. You know how Netflix nags you for to watch stuff. Kept on recommending it to me, so I thought, oh, fine, I'll watch it. So I was watching that. It's funny, insightful. He talks right at the top of the show, talks about him getting caught up in the whole Me Too thing. I mean, very peripherally caught up, I would say. You know, he does address that and starts the show off with that, and then sort of goes into, well, that's a weird way to start a comedy show. So he does address that, and that sort of leads him on to talking about sort of the world in general and the state of things and various other people. And it's really interesting and insightful and funny. I mean, it is funny, but it's a really clever, well-crafted bit of comedy, and it's well worth listening to. So I would recommend that.
I'm about 30 minutes through Catherine Ryan, so I might finish that, and it probably will recommend it if I've just watched that.
Yeah.
I do like those stand-ups are sometimes nice to have to watch on the train on the way to work.
Yes, I enjoyed the Catherine Ryan one. I mean, the Catherine Ryan one was entertaining. I thought the Aziz one was probably better out of the two, though.
Okay.
And LA's Finest as well, I also caught, which is Erring on Fox.
I started watching that too.
What did you think?
Very over the top.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's a spin-off from the Bad Boys movie franchise, and my God, you could tell. It is basically a female version of Bad Boys, which is what they sold it as, and it is exactly that. It's very, very much same feel to it. It's ridiculous. It's over the top. It is funny though. I mean, the jokes are well written. The banter between the two girls, I think, is really good. They're entertaining. It is basically Bad Boys with two girls in the lead role instead of boys, and it's a TV show. It's a procedural TV show, but it has that vibe to it. And I don't know whether I'll watch like the whole thing. I'll see how it goes. But I enjoyed the first one enough to go and watch some more of it. It's going to be one of those shows that maybe gets dropped for other things if they get, if I need to drop something to watch other stuff. That's one of the ones that's probably going to end up getting dropped. But yeah, it's perfectly fine, entertaining and quite funny. And certainly if you like Bad Boys, I think you'll probably like this. That's really me. That's sort of what I've been doing. So let's move on to some TV and film news. So we start off the TV and film news with renewals, cancellations and pickups. First one is it's not a cancellation, it's an ending. It's very much an ending. How to Get Away with Murder is coming to an end at its sixth season, which season five airing here at the moment. So it's got one more season to go after the current series that it's currently airing. And I think that sort of makes sense because that will also be the final year of the Law Degrees that the kids are doing in that show.
Yeah. I mean, I love it, but I absolutely think that's the right decision. Yeah. And I think it's a lot to do with the limited time they get with Viola each season and they're having to fit it all into her timetable. But if they carry on going, it will become too much of a mockery of itself.
Yes.
So I'm sad, but absolutely think it's probably the right decision.
Yeah, I think there's only so many times you can have a convoluted sort of murder plot wound into sort of a procedural about various cases. I think you can only do that for so long. And I do. I like you. I do enjoy it. And she's fabulous in that show as well. But there is only so long you can keep that going, I think. And that's when the kids finish the Law Degrees, I think that seems to be the sensible place to leave it.
Yeah.
Stars Play has picked up the Epics Batman-related Pennyworth series, which is an interesting place for it to land. But I'm very happy that it is airing somewhere. They haven't given a date for it yet. So it may be a case of they put it out weekly. It may be a case of they wait for it all to air on Epics in the US and then drop it as a box set. We don't know yet. So we'll have to wait and see. But I'm quite looking forward to that. It looks kind of interesting. It's from the people that made Gotham. Has no connection directly to Gotham, but it's following Bruce Wayne's father, Thomas Wayne, and how he meets Alfred is basically the butler.
Okay.
That's the premise for it. All based in the UK, I think. Or mainly based in the UK.
Hopefully that makes sense because he's always been British, hasn't he? And always been one of our fine British actors.
Yes. So that I'm looking forward to seeing that and seeing how that works. But from the people behind Gotham, and Gotham's such a wonderfully bonkers show. I am watching that weekly at the moment as well. But I'm interested to see what they end up doing with it. It could be quite fun. Netflix have renewed The Society for the second season, which was that kind of Lord of the Flies based series where there's a bunch of kids that kind of leave a town, come back again and find out that everybody's gone missing apart from the people that were on these buses that like left the town to come back again. I've watched a couple of episodes of that and it was quite enjoyable. So I'm not overly surprised they brought it back. I think it went down reasonably well. But yes, that will be returning for a second season.
I never got into that, sadly. I think Netflix has taken the back seat really while I've been trying to clear out all the stuff I wanted to get rid of. But yeah, back to Netflix over the summer, I'm telling you that.
Yeah, Society is worth a look, definitely. Grantchester renewed for a fifth season on ITV. That is, of course, with new Hot Vicar rather than old Hot Vicar. So that will be back again. ITV2 has ordered a reboot of Supermarket Sweep.
Is it wrong that I'm sadly excited about this?
I know, I'm weirdly quite happy about this. Ryland Clark Neal is hosting and I think he's the perfect person to be doing
it. He will do it very well, yeah.
Del Winton was great, but sadly he's no longer with us. And Ryland, I think, is a really good choice for that role. And it's a fun, silly, stupid show. And I don't know whether I'm actually going to ever watch any episodes of it, but I like the fact that it's out there. You know,
if you I will, Dave. If you don't do it, I'll come on and talk about it. You know, I'll watch all the bonkers stuff.
Yes. So Supermarket Sweep was a wonderful show. I have fond memories of watching that as a student. So yes, I mean, it's a very silly show, but I'm very happy that that's coming back. Netflix has ordered a series called The Cuphead Show based on the popular video game Cuphead.
My non-gaming head is there. I'm like, Cuphead? Oh, man.
It is pretty much what you think it is. It is a animated teacup is basically the premise of it. Misadventures of the impulsive Cuphead and his cautious but easily swayed brother Mugman. So through their many misadventures across their surreal home of Inkwell Isles, they always have each other's backs. So yeah, based on the classic Fleischer cartoons of the 1930s is the sort of animation style for it. And that was the animation style for the video game, but it never had a cartoon. And now it's got an actual cartoon series, which is obviously going to be in that 1930s style as well. Mm. So I think that's kind of weird and interesting, but so that's being made. And Zack Snyder and Jay Oliver are joining together to create a Norse mythology anime series, which sounds intriguing. Don't really know any more about it than that. other than they're the people doing it. Zack Snyder, of course, the person behind the Watchmen movie and Man of Steel and the Batman v Superman and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, he's been involved with that. And Oliver has done things like, he's done a lot of the DC animated movies. So Batman Dark Knight Returns, Justice League, The Flashpoint Paradox. He was in control of a lot of those. So he's a director as well. And they're teaming up together to do this anime-based series, which is based around Norse mythology.
Oh.
Going to be intriguing to see what they do together. But beyond that, we don't know any more about it. So okay. One to look out for. Moving on, we are moving over from Netflix to Amazon. We have got an adaptation of Brian K. Vaughan's Paper Girls, which was a graphic novel, and they've given it a series order for a live action series on Amazon. Paper Girls, if you're unfamiliar with the graphic novel, tells the story of four 12-year-old newspaper delivery girls who, in the early hours after Halloween in 1988, uncover the most important story of all time when the town is struck by an invasion from a mysterious force from the future. Erin, Mac, KJ, and Tiffany soon find themselves willingly caught up in a conflict between two warring factions of time travelers. As they travel between our present, the past, and the future, they encounter future versions of themselves and now must choose to embrace or reject their fate. That's the basic premise for it. I don't actually know the books, but I know they're quite popular. The adaptation's been written by Toy Story 4 co-writer Stephanie Folsom. It's based on the graphic novel. Vaughn is also exec producing. It's coming from Legendary Television and Brad Pitt. It's Plan B as the production companies. I did wonder the fact that it's sort of based in 1988 and it's around a group of 12-year-old kids. Is this them trying to do a sort of Stranger Things, maybe?
Possibly.
Maybe that's they're sort of thinking they might be able to fit it into that Stranger Things mold, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm quite pleased with this. I think this does sound like it could be quite interesting. I like time travel stuff as well. I think that's a sort of interesting idea. Brian K. Vaughan is doing fairly well with his TV adaptations at the moment. He was also the creation of Marvel's Runaways, which is why you may recognise the name when I said it. He's also doing Why, which is an adaptation of Why the Last Man, which was the book he wrote that's going to FX. He also wrote a book called Saga, which is an amazing comic book series. Not that anybody has ever tried to adapt that. It would be hellishly complicated to adapt, but I would love somebody to attempt it. And so hopefully the Amazon get round to that one next. That would be awesome. But Amazon have really ramped up an interesting lineup of projects over the next few years, because you've got obviously things like The Boys coming up, you've got Carnival Row coming up, the Lord of the Rings series, which is in development at the moment. They've got that remake of Channel 4's Utopia, an adaptation of The Power. There was talk of them doing a Conan the Barbarian series, an adaptation of Ian M. Banks's Culture novels, one based on William Gibson's The Peripheral, which was from the creators of Westworld. And you've got like fourth season of Expanse, final season of Man in the High Castle. They've picked up Star Trek Picard, which is going to them in the UK as well.
Well, you know why they've got this. It's because with the Apple and Disney and all that making their way, and Netflix has had such a good couple of years as being like the lead streaming channel. Amazon are getting themselves ready for the influx of competition.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why we're seeing this at the moment.
Yeah. But they're doing really well with the stuff they're managing to pick up, I think, because that's an interesting selection of kind of off the wall titles that they've taken. You know, I mean, obviously you've got big players like Lord of the Rings, but picking up something like the Culture novels or the Peripheral or, you know, Wheels of Time as well was another one they picked up, and Utopia. And, you know, they're not sort of straightforward dramas. They're really interesting off the wall books and things that they're adapting. So yeah, I'm really intrigued to see where Amazon is going over the next few years. They're certainly not going to be short of entertainment anyway.
Hmm.
Over on the Paramount Network in the US, they have ordered a prequel to Sexy Beast, which seems to sort of slightly come out of nowhere. If you don't know the film, it was a movie back from 2000. The TV series tells the origin story of the main character in that. The movie starred Ray Winston, Ben Kingsley, and Ian McShane. Follows a character called Gail Dove, played by Ray Winston, who was a retired gangster who's visited by an aggressive gangster, played by Ben Kingsley, who demands that he accept a heist job. That was basically the premise for the film. So the TV series tells Gail's origin story. He's a brilliant thief who finds himself descending into a seductive madness of the London criminal world during the vibrant and volatile 90s. The series will explore the early days of Gail's complicated relationship with Don Logan, a vicious gangster with whom Gail forms a partnership, the beginnings of his association with criminal mastermind Teddy Bass, and how Gail met and fell in love with Dee Dee, an adult film star who will become his wife. So it's got all the characters, basically, from the film, but it's going to be showing a sort of prequel thing, which is, I guess, is an interesting idea as a sort of premise, and don't have that many sort of modern-ish day British gangster things out there of that sort of British gang. There's a lot of movies based around that sort of London underworld gangster thing, but there's not that many TV shows I can think of that have covered that ground. So
it's a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah. It's been written by Michael Calleo, who is one of the writers from The Sopranos. So that's a fairly solid start. Writing exec produce. Karen Kasuma, who did something called Destroyer, is directing and exec producing as well. I think that could be an interesting one to watch out for. No casting yet at the moment, so we'll have to see who they cast for a young Ray Winston, but we'll wait and see. Interesting. I mean, it's not something that I particularly would have thought that needs a prequel, but you know, why not? That's what I say.
Well, they've got to get their ideas from somewhere.
Well, yes, exactly. And lastly, we have a new true crime anthology series called Major Crimes, which is in development from David Ayer, Tucker Tooley, and E1. So David Ayer and Chris Long's production company Cedar Park and Tooley Entertainment and Entertainment One have joined forces to develop a new Los Angeles-based true crime anthology series, which is currently called Major Crimes, but I rather suspect that won't be what it's called.
Because of the one that just ended last year, wasn't it?
Unless they're going to call it LA Major Crimes,
still confusing, isn't it?
It's still very confusing because there was a huge show called Major Crimes. So
I loved Major Crimes. It's one of my favourites when it was on.
So I rather suspect that name is going to change. But yes, so the idea is that it's a series that will follow the most daring heists, robberies and crimes in LA's history. As you might expect, it is going to follow one crime each season and take an in-depth look at both the detectives and criminals behind the case. Mm. So it's sort of American Crime Story, really, but following sort of LA specific crime stories. Yeah, that's the basic premise of it. What's quite interesting about this is the people that they have behind the camera as well. He's Chris Collins, whose previous work includes The Wire, Sons of Anarchy, and Man in the High Castle. He's going to write and be showrunner. He was also screenwriter on John Wick 3, and is the showrunner as well on The Continental, which is the John Wick spin-off TV series that they're currently in the process of creating. Joining him to direct several episodes is Christian Guggengast, who is writer-director of Den of Thieves and writer of London Has Fallen. He's not writing the show, so don't worry. But solid enough director, I guess. But I think that sounds like it could be kind of interesting. The production companies behind it are the David Ayer, whose previous work includes Training Day, End of Watch. He was also involved with Suicide Squad and the Netflix film Bright as well. So that's where you might know that from.
I knew his name from Suicide Squad. And did he get nominated for Training Day at an Oscar, possibly? I can't remember.
I'm not sure whether he's nominated for that. Oh. I mean, he's certainly, you know, a solid enough film. And End of Watch was a good film as well. Bright was quite fun as well. They're the production company behind it. And Tooley Entertainment are the people behind Hunter Killer, and Den of Thieves are the other production company. So fairly reasonable amount of money behind it. And an interesting writer, I think, on that more than anything else. And I like true crime things. I think that could be quite good. And I quite like stuff set in LA. Reminds me of being on holiday. So so that's all the news we have for this week. Next up, we have the interview.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom.
like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The interview this week is with Orange is the New Black production designer Malkus Janocco. Obviously, you all know Orange is the New Black. It's due to come back for its final season on July 26th. Malkus has been the production designer on it since season 4, which was quite an interesting point, I think, which to join the show. So that means that he's responsible for building the Max Prison as well, all the Max Prison sets. We talk about sort of how he got into the business and all that side of things and where he got his start. And then we obviously talk about Orange is the New Black. There are obviously spoilers. If you've not seen seasons 4, 5, and 6, there are a few spoilers in there. So be warned, if you've not completely up to date on it, there are spoilers. We talk about stuff coming up in the final season as well. Doesn't give anything away, so don't worry about spoilers for the new season. He's not giving anything away, but there is stuff for the previous season in there, so you have been warned. But yes, talk about the flashback sequences, the various things, what were his favourites and that sort of stuff, and filming around prisons and building the Max Prison as well. So here's the interview with Marcus. We'll see you afterwards with some highlights for next week. It's lovely to have you on. I'm really glad we could get a bit of a chat in today. Before we kind of get into the shows, you're an art director and production designer. Do you just want to explain what those jobs are for people that haven't heard us interview people with those jobs before?
Sure. The production designer is in charge of everything behind the actors and in front of the actors, but not the costumes.
Right.
But from the furniture and the wall color and construction, that all goes through the production designer. Production designer works with the art director and the set decorator to create the whole look. The set decorator is in charge of all of the furnishings and all of the things that are in the spaces, and the art director is in charge of the construction and painting of those spaces.
Right.
So as I've been art directing for a long time and was gradually able to work my way into production design through the course of time. I started on Gossip Girl as the art director and worked on that for 5 years. And my boss kept getting pilots at the end of the season. And I started production designing the one episode or two episodes. And he moved on at the end of that. And I was able to step up and do the final season of Gossip Girl. So I've been bouncing back and forth as art director and production designer since then.
Right. Okay, cool. How did you get into it? Because I've yet to meet an art director or a production designer that actually planned to be an art director or a production designer.
This was never really part of the plan. It's always my whole life seems like a bunch of spectacularly happy accidents.
Yeah.
I went to art school and I have a degree in painting, fine art painting. And I had painted and done some scenery in high school. And I did a show. I got sick with mono in college and I designed a show and painted it myself. And I applied to Carnegie Mellon on a whim to become a scenic painter. I wanted to go to school so that I could work professionally as a painter of scenery. And they accepted me, but they didn't accept me as a painter. They accepted me as a designer. And I didn't find out that out until I got there, which is pretty hilarious. And I spoke to them like, I wanted to be a scenic painter. And they're like, that program doesn't exist here anymore. We accepted you as a designer. And I had to make a decision on the spot as to whether to stay to go. And I thankfully said, yes, I would love to do that. That would be fantastic. I get to do both.
Cool.
And I've painted a lot of scenery, but I've been designing, you know, since I moved to New York, been art directing. And I started at a firm designing like car shows and industrial events and that sort of thing. And I moved to an events company and was their creative director and did bar mitzvahs and weddings and other crazy things. I'd been in the union. I went to school for set design at Carnegie Mellon.
Yeah.
And I joined the union during a membership drive. And I finally had had it in the event world. And I got an offer to go work on a little tiny straight to video Wesley Snipes movie. And I just was like, all right, here's my chance to dive in. And my friend Jeff Pry had helped me by getting me onto a couple of jobs. He's the art director on Law & Order SVU.
Ah,
he's been
right.
For, I don't know, 14 years or something like that. He's a great friend. And he helped get me in. And I got attached to a wonderful production designer named Lauren Weeks, who's just been doing amazing things. He's done all of the Marvel Defenders series, all of those first seasons, Jessica Jones and
yeah.
Luke Cage. And,
yeah.
But he called me to do that movie. And then I got attached to a couple other things and got onto Gossip Girl. And there's so many.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The way things work here with the schedule, you can be on two jobs a year or one job that's 22 episodes on network television. So, you know, there's so many different types of things.
Yeah.
I like to call it art department bingo, because every spring as the new shows roll out, you never know who you're going to be working with.
Yeah, I can imagine. Interesting area to work in. And as you say, it's nice to meet somebody that actually went to do something to do with set design, because the amount of people that I talked to that sort of fell into art direction or production design is like, oh, this is a job. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. And people who do or don't have art history backgrounds or drawing backgrounds or things like that, it's still amazing, you know, that these guys just have brilliant minds and put things together. People that started out as architects or, you know, but I did go to school for set design for theater. It was fantastic.
Yeah. So the main show, which we're probably going to be talking about, I think, given that it's coming back for its final season, is Orange is the New Black, which you weren't on that from the beginning, were you?
No.
Season 4, was it you joined?
Yes, exactly.
So that's quite a nice point, I would think, to get into the show, because you've got a couple of seasons where you're still in the original prison, and then suddenly you sort of, you know, by season 6 you're moving everything to Max. At what point did you know about the fact that you were basically going to have to rebuild everything?
Well, you know, season 4 ends with Kusei Washington's death, Samira Wiley's character.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were told that season 5 was going to be a riot, but we weren't told that they were going to burn the prison down and never come back to it until the end of the season. And they told us, you guys need to clear the sets. And they said, we're starting in a whole new facility. And that was like the biggest gift to the art department ever for season 6 of a show. Now, Genji does have a history of burning towns down, like in Weeds. So we did have some warning, but it was like just amazing to get to start again for season 6 and build all new sets.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real gift, because you come on in season 4 and somebody's established some of the stuff, so you can kind of add and tweak and change things up to a certain point. But to be able to get hold of just having to redo all the main sets must have been wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What sort of research did you end up doing for the Max facility?
I went with our locations manager to all of the near prisons that we could possibly be shooting at. And we basically built an amalgamation of all of them so that it would kind of fit that we could be at any one of them for different things that we needed. We needed outdoor space at one. We needed a place where you can load buses, Sallyport, where, you know, a courtyard inside the gates.
Yeah.
We had one of those that was close, one with a good cell block, one with a great visitation room. But they're all at different prisons locally. And since we left the minimum security of Litchfield at the end of season 5. We couldn't go back to that location at all. We did use the exterior of it as a place where we could construct things for season 6 and season 7, but we couldn't see that building anymore.
Yeah. So, were you actually shooting at real prisons for some of that then?
Absolutely. Yeah. So anytime we had a exterior scene with driving up to a prison where there are gates, there's I think in season 6, Aleda selling energy concoctions out of her trunk. That's all shot at a real prison. We needed some real exteriors to really ground it and give ourselves those establishing moments. You know, something the guards and going to their cars in the parking lot, those things were all done at real prisons.
Are those working prisons as well?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I'm amazed you're allowed to do that. It's really yes. funny.
New York is very film friendly, and those prisons, there's a mandate, and a lot of them have special people that are in charge of helping film shoots operate there, but it helps their budgets. And I know it seems crazy to be going into active prisons, but I've gotten really used to it. So,
I mean, obviously the main interior bits were all built, they were set.
Yes.
You think with it being a prison, it needs to be sort of, and the Max prison, it sort of needs to be even drabber and kind of grayer than the place they've just come from. We're sort of sick of gray paint by the end of it.
Yes. Yeah. We had the good thing about the show, though, is the flashbacks and the flash outs.
Yes.
Allowed for these character pieces, you know, to break that monotony of the gray, all of those memories. So we'd really go to town on all of those flashbacks. But there's a lot of gray. There are, you know, 3 colors of gray and all that gray flooring.
Yeah. Well, I was going to mention the flashbacks because, I mean, that, as you say, does help you kind of break out of the color palette that you're stuck in with the actual prison itself.
Yes.
Did you have any particular favorites over the seasons you worked on out of the flashbacks?
Absolutely. You know, when we came on in season 4, we found out that Pusey Washington was going to be killed in episode 12, and we hadn't gotten episode 13. We, you know, even the make Gizmi shiver still because she's such a lovely character, and Samira Wiley is just amazing.
Yeah.
But to have killed her off is so heartbreaking. But we got the perfect cathartic ending to season 4 with Pusey's flashback to that best night ever in New York City.
Yeah.
And that was so beautifully written. And there were so many wonderful moments in that flashback, from the big dance party to the monks on bikes. It was just just so beautiful. And then to end on the waterfront. And I think it's the first time anybody breaks the fourth wall and makes eye contact. And when she looks into the camera right at the end, man, that's perfect.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I love that ending.
It was a fabulous, fabulous flashback, that one.
I love Red's flashback to 80s Russia. That was amazing to do. Suzanne's flashback to where she's working in the, you know, the Walmart alike as the checkout. We find out why she's in prison. That was, again, heartbreaking stories, but you just get this depth to the characters so much through those moments. I loved it. And I think that it was, you know, it's a theatrical show, so we really got to enjoy that. So.
Yeah. When you're doing things like the flashback, which is in the sort of Walmart alike, places like that, presumably you're not building a huge Walmart set for that. So you're using a location and then redressing it.
That was dressing an existing store. We covered up, I believe that was a National Wholesale Liquidators. and they, since it's kind of a lower level store, it doesn't have as much signage and branding as something like a Walmart. So we were able to cover up their signage and make it into our own, because that place does not sell guns. And we wanted our superstore to be the kind of superstore where you can buy an AR-15 and check out and have Suzanne check your receipts and make sure that you don't have 2 of them. And we read these things and we're like, yeah, that's the situation here.
Yeah.
And making a comment on that directly.
Yeah.
So with a bit of humor.
It is nuts that you can buy pens in supermarkets.
Yes.
Is there one particular point where they've come to you and said, we need to build this particular type of set, and you've gone, how the hell am I going to put that together?
Yes. It was for season 6, our maximum security. We built basically two giant sets. One of them is the general population cell block where everybody ends up.
Yeah.
And the other is the administrative segregation unit, which is featured in that first episode with Suzanne having her breakdown from being off of her medicine. This was really designed in Genji's head as a very specific place, really for this one episode, but then we turned it into a really functional set for, you know, we used it probably half the season.
Right.
But when Suzanne sits in her window with her pretend television remote and turns on the lights in individual cells, and you've got these weird little stories about each of the occupants, that set was designed with that piece of story in mind. That was based on just that. We knew that the segregation units where you can see into the cells through glass, but we wanted to have her view to see all of the other occupants. And then she would have the hallucinations in regards to each of the characters.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you have maybe a little bit of background about something that might surprise people about the show? Something that they may have missed or something that you've done that you think particularly might surprise people?
I would guess it's not a surprise that we have only built one cell block and we change it over. But it was a surprise to one of our actors that was directing an episode, and she never had paid attention to the fact that there was only one cell block and that we would have to change it over. So it was surprising to her. That was pretty great because she really wasn't paying attention to other people's storylines, and she was only ever in the one cell block herself. Right. So she never really thought about the other cell blocks.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
It's amazing how many actors we have and how many background we have to fill up those cell blocks. That's pretty amazing. They're a different set of actresses for every cell block. They don't repeat.
Really?
So we have the B block cell extras are different from the C block extras, which are different from the D block extras. So on a day where you're shooting both, costume department has to dress hundreds of women. It's just staggering. Some of the scenes we did outside kickball in season 6, that was a real challenge. We try very hard to stay with the seasons that we've been asked to be in, but the weather does not necessarily abide. We had flashbacks that were supposed to be one way, and then shooting stuff that's supposed to happen the following day and you all of a sudden have snow is always a fight.
Yeah, so, that's tricky. One of the other fun things that you got to do way back in season 4, the Correcticon.
Oh man, we built that from scratch. That was fantastic. I actually had done a lot of exhibitry for trade shows in my previous commercial life.
Right.
So walking in and being asked to create the Correcticon from the ground up was fantastic. Our decorator, Kara Zygon, just dove into it, and she did contact some of the real vendors and some of the real vendors that we use. There's a company that does fencing and barbed wire that we use, Anchor Fence. We were able to feature them right in the front.
Nice.
And Bob Barker, not the Bob Barker from The Price is Right, but Bob Barker, the company, they sell prison equipment, and we were able to have a whole booth for them. But it was amazing looking into all of the products that were there, including the menstrual cups, which was a featured item for that.
Yeah.
That is a money-saving device that women's prisons are instituting. It's just, it's amazing to have even that differentiation from men's to women's prisons be on display there.
Wow. I did wonder how much of that stuff was genuine and how much were things you kind of came up with, but genuine by the sounds of it, most of it.
A lot of the items were genuine, even if we had to make up some of the names of the companies. But like the restraint chairs, those things were all real. You know, in our prop department, Rachel Weinzimmer would find and get and show the most horrific of restraints. And it was always a decision on how far to go, how bad does it want to be? But yeah, we were able to get, we bought a lot of things from real prison suppliers. And the prison industry itself, a lot of the prison fixtures, things like beds and tables, are made by inmates in jails. Right. So it's feeding on itself, and that whole profit by privatizing prisons here in the United States is just horrifying. That they would then be making more beds for more prisoners.
Yeah, that's a whole other level of discussion, I think.
Oh yeah.
We've got season 7 coming up later in the month, fairly soon. Anything that you want to say about the upcoming season without obviously giving anything too much away?
It's incredibly topical and incredibly sad. You know, we know that the Piper has gotten out of prison at the end of season 6. So we know that we'll be heading into what her life might be like outside. Mm. But the stories that are going on inside have taken a turn, you know, and even to have predicted what the situation in the United States would be like a year ago when we started filming it, you just can't imagine how really topical this is at the moment. And I can't wait for everyone to see it. There's a great and important storyline involving the Immigration and Customs Enforcement that we were getting a taste of right at the end of last season. And it goes to a whole new level. I think that Genji has a very strong statement in this season, and I'm very proud to be part of it.
Awesome. I am very, very much looking forward to it. And I mean, I'll be sad to see the show go, but I'm glad that it's kind of having a solid ending by the sounds of it. So that I'm very much looking forward to. As for you, you mentioned before we started that you're on another show. What was the other show you're on?
FBI season 2. We just started up. This is one of the new Dick Wolf shows.
Yes.
There are all of the Chicago shows, and there's still Law & Order SVU, and now there's FBI, and FBI Most Wanted is starting up next door. I think that's been announced. I don't know
if
that's...
Yes, Taz.
Okay.
Yeah, that's... All right. We know that's coming. We know FBI Most Wanted is coming, so... awesome. Well, that should keep you busy for a while, because they tend to hang around those Dick Wolf shows. So
absolutely, and it's actually a whole different structure. You know, Netflix with a full season dropping 13 episodes all in one day. We had a little bit more time. The pace on this is a lot faster.
Yes, so. Yeah, because it's normal network TV, so you're going out weekly and deadlines.
Yeah, 23 episodes in comparison. With 13, so it's really pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So, but I was able to bring a bunch of my crew members on with me, so I'm very, very happy to keep everybody together.
That's great. And last two questions that we ask everybody when they come on. First question is, what TV shows are you watching at the moment?
Chernobyl.
Yes.
I think everybody has watched that.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. I was teaching at Savannah College of Art and Design for the spring. And the day after the premiere, I just threw out my lesson plan and I made my set decoration class watch the first episode in the classroom. I was like, we're just stopping. Everybody, we're going to watch this. and Russian Doll. Oh, my Lord. This season was fantastic. Natasha Lyonne directed one of our episodes of Orange this season, and we had the best time. And Russian Doll was just amazing.
Yeah.
Again, I was teaching in Savannah this spring, and I went backwards and I rewatched Mindhunter.
Oh, that was a great series. Yeah.
Great series. Because I was looking for period design, how to shoot things. You know, David Fincher and his crew are just, that show is amazing.
Yeah.
And again, another project we did was Mad Men. I had my students redesign the pilot of Mad Men. I worked on the pilot of Mad Men.
Yes.
So those are the things I'm watching right now. But I like Bob's Burgers a lot.
Something like Bob's Burgers must be nice for you because you're not thinking about the production design as much, I guess.
That's exactly right. Two of our writers on this season 7, one of them is a writer who's done a couple of episodes of Bob's Burgers, and one was on BoJack Horseman.
Oh, right.
Man, it's nice to have a comedic release when you're dealing with the horrors of prison day after day. So.
Yeah. And the last question, if you had the opportunity to work on any TV show, past, present, or future, which one would it be?
I love Star Trek Next Generation. I think that that's kind of like the perfect show of all of these, because you have all the characters and just the infinite possibilities of space. And if you can have a character like Q show up, you know, there are no rules except when there are rules that have to be maintained. Oh, that would be the best. I think I love all the genres, but I think something like that would be it.
Well, I mean, you're edging in the right direction. You've managed to get onto CBS now, and they are making more and more Star Trek shows as they seem to be kind of expanding that into more and more things. So you never know, you're in the right place.
Well, I'll tell you this. I had a great moment with Kate Mulgrew when I met her on set for the first time, and she was in full red in character, and I was wearing a tie because I like to wear a tie. It was my first day on set with her, and she came over to me and said, "Who are you?" And I had that starstruck moment. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. But they wanted to spin back to Voyager, you know, that would be pretty great too. So they talk to CBS.
Yeah, so, that would be good. Awesome. Well, I know you're obviously incredibly busy because it's your first day on FBI. So I will let you get back to your day. Thank you for spending a bit of time talking to me. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much, David. It was really nice to meet you. And thank you so much.
Thank you too. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye. So that was the interview with the Orange is the New Black production designer, Malkus Janocco. If you want to watch the final season of Orange is the New Black, which I'm sure many of you do, it will be on Netflix on July 26th for you to binge your way through. And then that'll be the end of it. I am looking forward to that coming back. So yes, if you want to see the final season, Netflix 26th of July for that, for Orange is the New Black final season, go and catch it there. Now we have some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week. We have Fresh Off the Boat. This is season 4 returning to 5-star. It actually got beaten to the premiere of season 4 already because you can already get it on Amazon Prime. If you've got Amazon Prime, it's all up there. But Channel 5 being Channel 5 are obviously late. So, 5-star 17th of July at 8 p.m. for that, if you've been watching Fresh Off the Boat there.
Is that up to date, Dave? The one I just finished earlier this season. Did I just finish watching 3 or did I just
finished watching the second half of 3 then.
Okay, so it will be up to date if I tune into that one.
Should be, yes. Lovely. Should be fine. Then we have Better Things. Season 2 of that arrives on BBC Two on the 17th of July as well. That is at 10 p.m. That is the comedy series by Pamela Aldon. And then we have Suits, which is back for its 9th and final season. That is on the 18th of July. I'm looking forward to that, and I'm sad to see it go because I thought they've done quite well having lost some major cast members. 9 seasons is a fair run to get to, I think. So, you know.
Yeah.
Deadly Class, if you were hoping that would appear somewhere over here, it has. It's on Stars Play, which is the Amazon add-on channel. That's coming on the 19th of July. Unfortunately, it's only 1 season because it got cancelled by Sci-Fi in the US. But if you want to watch that comic book adaptation, it is arriving on the 19th of July in its entirety to Stars Play. Queer Eye is back for the 4th season. That is on the 19th of July as well. That is on Netflix. Lots of love for that series. It seems to have gone down very, very well.
I've got a feeling, is this the one where they go a little bit more further afield?
I think so, yes.
I know that was coming up soon, so.
Yes. So that's the season 4, that's of Queer Eye, and 19th of July for that. over on Amazon Prime, I'm hoping I'm correct with this, because can't confirm it, but it's certainly on Amazon Prime in the US. I see no reason why it wouldn't be on Amazon Prime over here. Dark/Web, coming to Amazon Prime on the 19th of July. It follows a group of young adults navigating a near future where everything's online and everything's connected, whether you like it or not. So sounds almost like a Black Mirror sort of concept, but that is there on Amazon Prime if you want to see it, hopefully. Like I say, it's coming to Amazon Prime in the US, and I can't work out whether it's also coming to Amazon Prime in the UK. So apologies if it doesn't, but keep a lookout on 19th of July for that. And then Who Do You Think You Are is back for its 16th season on BBC One on the 22nd of July. That is at 9 p.m. I think they've got a fabulous lineup actually this year. You've got Harry Potter star Daniel Radcliffe, who's going to be the opening episode. They've also got Kate Winslet doing it. You've got Sharon Osbourne doing it. Naomi Harris is there. You've got Have I Got News For You Captain Paul Merton. Catherine Ryan, again, she's going to be doing it as well, which I think could be quite an interesting one. You've got TV personality Mark Wright. And lastly, Jack Whitehall, who for the first time ever, they're doing it with Jack Whitehall and his father,
and his
Michael.
Dad, yeah,
so they're doing the whole thing together, which, you know, if you've just seen Travels With My Father on Netflix, you know how much fun that will probably be.
So, I saw the trailer with them both in it. I was like, oh, that's interesting. They're doing it for two. So
yes. Well, they are father and son. So, I mean, it's not that much of a stretch. But yes, I thought that looked like it could be quite good fun, because I think Jack's very funny. And I think him and his father together are great. So this seems like the sort of thing that Michael would really like to do. So I'm sure that would be highly entertaining. That's a really, really solid lineup. Because sometimes they have, there's only one person in there, like, sorry, Mark Wright, but I don't really know who you are very much. But the rest of them I know reasonably well. So they've done really, really well, I think, out of that list.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that coming back. That's Who Do You Think You Are? Season 16, BBC One, 22nd of July at 9 p.m. for that. And that is everything this week, unless you've got anything else you want to mention.
No, I'm still, I mean, I listened to it a couple of weeks ago, but I'm still very upset about how Channel 5 have handled the Will and Grace situation.
Yes.
I'm just so cross, as they did it as such a big launch and they nabbed it off of Channel 4.
Yeah.
And it's just like they've done it on purpose to not now let British people access that season. It's just, it just annoys
me. And the problem is they've done this before, and they've done it with things like Gotham, and they take a show, they can't make it work, and they drop it, and that makes it very difficult for somebody else to come in and pick it up, because you then have a missing season that nobody has the rights to.
So, exactly. I just felt it was quite bad of them to do that, because now as a fan, I'm going to have to try and find that somewhere else or buy the DVD. So.
Yeah, I believe the first 9 seasons are on Amazon Prime, but the return seasons aren't.
No.
So, you know.
I mean, I've got all the DVDs for every season, but I just liked watching it weekly.
Yeah.
Just can't do that now, can we?
Yeah, so. No, it was very funny, and I'm kind of upset about that as well. But they are supposed to be releasing it directly onto DVD. So, I mean, at least you will be able to buy the DVDs, hopefully, for it.
There's my little moan.
So, but yes, yeah, no, I'm very much with you on that. I do wish they wouldn't do that. But what can you do? Before anybody asks, no, we don't know anything about Supernatural. Because that's the other thing that everybody keeps on asking me about. Last time I checked, there was no news either way. And that is partly a good thing, partly a bad thing, because it means that they won't tell me that they've dropped it. They also can't tell me when it's going to air. So, you know, it's in limbo at the moment, which is frustrating for everybody I know. But that is the case, unfortunately. So for Gray, if you want to go and talk to Gray online, you can find him at
Gray the Geek
on Twitter, if you want to go and find him on there. For us, obviously, you can go to geektown.co.uk. I should also mention it is the big San Diego Comic Con towards the end of this week. I think Thursday is the first day. There may be a press preview Wednesday, so there may be stuff sneaking out on Wednesday, but certainly Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there will be a lot of news coming out. So keep an eye on the website over, particularly towards the end of the week. I mean, check it all the week, but keep an eye particularly the end of the week. There will be a lot of news going up. If you want to get in touch with your questions and comments throughout the week, you can email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk, leave a message on the website post, find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram @geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye bye.
Bye bye.